Take your Bibles, please, and turn with us to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, the first chapter of the book of Luke. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse number 5, please. Luke, first chapter, verse number 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. It came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned with them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you again today for the scripture. It's the word of God, and we thank you for it. And Lord, thank you for once again gathering a people together here in this place, Lord, to hear the word of God, to sing and to give and to do the things that we do, Lord, in preaching services. And now, Father, it's time for the preaching. And this preacher needs power from you. I need your wisdom. And I ask you, God, to help me. You know the needs of my life, and I ask you for them, Father, and depend upon you for them. And Lord, thank you for what's already been accomplished this day. But Lord, this is a new service, a new time. We need your help. We need your power. We need your wisdom. And we just ask you to do what needs to be done tonight. And we'll thank and praise you for it in the lovely, wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord and Savior. Amen. You may be seated, please. I'm going to preach a message tonight on the subject of John the Baptist. I just read to you a portion of scripture that the scripture gives us an account of how God told how he was going to be born. Zechariah, his father, told him how he was going to be born and that he was going to have a son. And I've certainly believed that there's a great need. Now, I know there'll never be another John the Baptist. I know that. I understand that. But I do believe there needs to be some John the Baptists raised up that live by the same principles and that John the Baptist and preach the way John the Baptist preached. I'm convinced of that. I don't know who's in our congregation tonight. You never know, moms and dads, who you're raising. you may be raising a John the Baptist. Now, I know, as I said, he's not going to be John the Baptist. You may be raising some man that God is going to raise up and to go forward in this old country and help save this country. For we are in dire need of preachers of the Word of God to go out and preach the blessed book. I don't know if you're following. I know many of you take the Sword of the Lord, but I wish you would read the editor's notes in the Sword of the Lord. Brother Smith has been lately, and I believe he's done a wonderful job there with the Sword of the Lord. And if you will read his editor's notes, he's trying to warn us. He's trying to show and tell us of the great dearth that there is in America today. We know there's some great churches in America. We know that. We believe that with all of our heart. Thank God for them. But somewhere, and I'm not sure how many there is, but somewhere around 250 million Americans, and we're not reaching them. Every church in America is not doing its job. And he's warning us that many of the churches, I mean independent fundamental Baptist churches, are falling by the wayside. And they're changing their standards and what they stand for and how they preach. So I'm saying to you, there is some warnings out there that is telling us we better get busy. We better do everything we can do. And I'm convinced with all of my heart there needs to be a generation of young men raised up to preach the Word of God in power. And to do so, not to favor men, but to just mind God. So what I want to do tonight is I just want to bring you a message. It's a simple message. It's a three-point message. I want to talk about, first of all, the man, John the Baptist, a man sent from God. And that's what he was. He's a man sent from God. God sent him, and he had a message that God had given him. He had a message. He was sent of God. He had a message, and he also had a method that was ordained of God. And we're just going to cover those just simply tonight and pray that God will be able to use the message to stir hearts. It's not just for the young men that might be called into God's service. It's for all of us that we'll make a stand for God. And then we won't give up. We won't quit. We'll just keep going on for the Lord and never tire of doing that. Amen. Because it's really a great need in America. I think it's the greatest need in America today is the Word of God to be sent forth in power through God's men who just preach the Word of God without fear or favor. Now we need that, whether you understand that or not. We need that so badly in America. We're not asking any young man to stand up, and we have young men here's already surrendered to preach. We're not asking anybody to do that unless God calls them. And when I say young men, it don't have to be teenagers. It can be just men who was called of God. I wasn't called of God till I was 30 years of age. The preacher that led me to Christ was called of God, I believe, somewhere around 40 or 42 or 3. I can't remember exact age. So it doesn't matter about that. It just means that the hand of God must be on someone, and they must realize that God wants them to go forward and preach the Word and stand for God. So I'm convinced it's a great need. First of all, I just want to talk to you about the man, John the Baptist, for just a little while. The man, John the Baptist. First of all, he was named of God. Now, you know, the Bible says in Luke 1:13, thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. God knew all about him. God had prepared him a long time before that. It was in his plan to bring forth John through Zacharias and Elizabeth as a man to be used of God. God named him. Now, I don't know what your name is, but somewhere along the line, you got a name. And it may be that you're the one that God wants to be raised up. He may already have his hand on you. He may be already saying to you, I want you to stand for God. I want you to do something for me. See, it may be that. We don't know. I don't know who's in this congregation tonight. I never know every time I preach. I don't know who's in here. I don't know who I'm preaching to in the future. I don't know what's going on in people's lives. But I do know this. God's looking for some people to stand up and to preach the Word and to do the work of God. I do know that. Not only that, he was born of godly parents. My goodness, the importance of parents raising their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Boy, just parents, you don't know who you're raising. You don't know who you have there as you're raising these children up. You just don't understand. What are they going to become? Right now, sometimes they're just little terrors. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you think they're never going to grow up and they're never going to do right. But you know, God has a way of correcting all those things and putting everything in order and calling them out and doing what he needs to do with them. God has a way of doing that. Amen. So what I'm saying to parents tonight is, you don't know who you have in your household. But boy, you raise them so that God can use them. Raise them for the glory of God and bring them up where they'll be dedicated unto the Lord, you see, so God can reach down and pluck them out and use them for his glory. Not only that, as I told you earlier, John the Baptist was a man who was sent from God. The Bible says in Matthew 11, he said, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face. I want you to know something, folks. God sent. He was a man sent of God. He wasn't mama called and daddy sent. He was a man called of God and sent of God Almighty. There has to be a decision made somewhere in a man's ministry that he's not going to be just a preacher. He's going to be a messenger. He's going to be God's messenger. He's got to make a determination. You know, we can be a preacher. We can be well known. We can make a name for ourselves. That's not what God's looking for. God is looking for messengers that'll just preach the word of God, the message that God gives them. That's what he's looking for. And I trust that the young men that's here and others that here that's already called of God. We have some preachers in our midst. And they're called of God. They've given themselves over to the preaching of the word of God. Oh, remember something from this old preacher. You be a messenger of God. Don't try to make a name as a preacher. That's unimportant. It doesn't matter. What you need to do is just be a messenger of God. Take forth the message that God gives you and present it to a people that God gives you to present it to. Amen. So that's what he told him. He was going to be his messenger. And I believe every preacher somewhere along the line has to make a determination. Am I going to be just a preacher? Nothing wrong with being a preacher. But am I just going to be just a preacher that's going to go out here, try to make a name for myself and be somebody? Or am I just going to be a messenger of God Almighty? What we need in this country is messengers of God. We need people who have decided that I'm just going to preach what God says to preach. And in fact, he's even called over in Matthew, the 11th chapter, he's called a prophet. He was a prophet and even more than a prophet. He was God's prophet. He wasn't man's prophet. He went to men, but he was God's prophet, sent by God Almighty. So I say to you tonight, oh, just put yourself in a position and say, I'll be willing to go for God. I'll be willing to be his messenger, you see. Not only that, over in John, and you might want to turn to the book of John. Keep your place in Luke. We'll be jumping around a little bit tonight, but over in the book of John, it talks about John the Baptist. Verse number 7 of chapter 1, he says, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He came as to bear witness of the light. He came to bear witness of Jesus Christ. In other words, he had a purpose in life. And that purpose was to bear witness of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. A preacher who is called of God has a purpose in life. And that's to bear witness of Jesus. Not of themselves, not of other people, but of Jesus, the Son of God, you see. Bear witness of him, you see. Not only that, in John, the first chapter, 15th verse, you'll notice he said, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that come after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Look at verse number 20 and 21. He says, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Look at verse number 27. And he said, he it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latch I am not worthy to unloose. I want to tell you, not only did he have purpose in life, he had humility. He was not coming and trying to be somebody special or be a big shot that took away from the glory of God. No, he had humility. He said, I'm not even worthy to bend down and undo his shoe lashes. No, he said, it's Christ. You see, it's always Christ, not myself. John the Baptist was a man who had humility, you see. He said over in Matthew, he told Jesus, I have need to be baptized of thee. You want me to baptize you? I need to be baptized of thee. You see, he had humility in his life. And let me say to you, if you are going to preach the word of God, get rid of the pride out of your life real quick. I know this. I don't like to hear a preacher gets up and start bragging on himself and bragging on this and bragging. If he'll brag on Jesus, I'm happy. And that's who we ought to brag on. Amen. We need preachers that'll just brag on Jesus. And just and have humility to yourself. Because you've heard me say it to me. We're just not much, folk. We're just not much. No, we're not. We're not. It's Jesus that's everything. Without Jesus, we can't do anything. You know that as well as I do. And not only that, in chapter 1 of John, in verse 17, he said, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. I want you to know, and we could read other verses, but he was well acquainted with the scripture. He knew what the word of God said. He was well acquainted with it. And he could tell you what the word of God said. He knew the doctrines of the word of God. He knew exactly what to teach and what was right to teach and what was not right to teach. He knew this. And not only that, in verse number 23, and I'll read it, he says, he said, I am the voice of one that crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Look over in verse number 31, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. You know what? He was true to his mission. He knew what his mission was, and he was true to it. He knew exactly what God had sent him for, and he was going to stick with it and do exactly what God sent him to do. You know what? One of these days, and this would be true of any preacher, but I'm not going to be accountable to you when we get to heaven. I'm going to be accountable to my God. That's who I'm going to be accountable to. He's the one that's going to take care of all of that. He's the one going to judge whether I was a faithful servant of God or not. You're not going to decide that. You may determine that in your own mind, but you're not going to decide that. God's going to decide that. We need to be true to the mission that God gave us. Amen. And John the Baptist certainly was that mission. We get off base sometimes. We forget what our real purpose is. But let me tell you, the purpose for a preacher is to preach the word of God, be a messenger for God Almighty. That's his purpose. Amen. He's not here to cuddle everybody. He's here to just give forth the word of God and preach it as God gives it to him. And we need to always remember that. And then also, responsibility, not just for the preacher, but the responsibility is soul winning. We need to get people to Christ. We need to bring them to Jesus Christ that they may know Christ. We're living in a terrible, terrible time. There's multitudes out there that are unsaved, and we need to be the instruments that helps bring the gospel to them that they'll be saved. Now that's for every single Christian. You've heard me say that over and over again. But we need to be true to the mission that God has given us. And John the Baptist was true to the mission that God gave him. He done exactly what God told him to do. Not only that, in John 1st chapter, the 33rd verse, he says this, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. You know what he did? He just believed God. God said, that's the way you're going to know him, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. He just believed God. He said, how do you know that's him? Because God said that be him. See, he just believed God. He believed what the word of God said, and he believed that. We need a young generation, or a generation of preachers that just believe God. And what God said in his word, not trying to change it, not trying to pervert it. They just believe God. And let me encourage you young men around here. God may be calling you into the ministry. Now listen, he don't call dirty vessels. He calls clean vessels. You understand me? He calls clean vessels into the ministry. So I'm saying to you, God wants you to be in the ministry. You keep yourself clean. You keep yourself pure. You do what's right. Amen? So he just believed God. And not only that, he was bold in his preaching. We find over in Luke, and I'm going to turn over to the book of Luke, the 3rd chapter, if you'd like to turn there with me. We'll turn over there. Luke, the 3rd chapter, the 7th verse. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of come? Now I want to tell you, John the Baptist was a bold preacher. He was not saying that to try to hurt people's feelings. He was saying it because God was telling him to say it. He was simply preaching in boldness the truth of the Word of God. I want you to also turn with me to 1 Timothy. We'll turn over there, 1 Timothy, the second chapter. I want to tell you a little story there. But, John the Baptist was so bold, he stood before Herod, and he said, it's not lawful for thee to have her. What he was talking about was his brother Philip's wife. Herod had taken his brother Philip's wife. And you know what he said? He stood right up to Herod and he said, it's not lawful that you should have her. Now we need some bold preachers that's not afraid to condemn sin and call out sin, you see. We need that kind of people. I want to tell you a little story, 1 Timothy. And where did I tell you? Second chapter, thank you. But anyway, my daughter probably might not even remember this, but years ago, she said she was sitting in a church and she heard the preacher. He was teaching, I believe, in Sunday school. I'm not sure when it was, but he was teaching and preaching, and he was teaching in 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter. And I want to just share with you, he got down to this portion of scripture. He says in verse number 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. He says, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now he read that portion of scripture, and here is what he said. I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. I don't know whether you remember that or not, Lori, but you told me that story. You could tell me exactly who the preacher was. But what I'm saying to you, shame on a man who calls himself a man of God, who won't take all of the scriptures, all the oracles of God, and teach it as it is. What he was afraid of was the women in his congregation. The word of God is very plain here. A woman ought not to be up teaching, usurping the authority of a man. That's plain. That's scriptural teaching. And we're not going to touch it with a 10-foot pole. The reason I told you that story is simply this, folks, because we need preachers who have some guts about them, some courage about them, that'll just teach and preach the Word of God as it is. Not doing it to try to hurt somebody, but just doing it because it's the Word of God. People in churches need to be taught the blessed book, the Word of God. That's why we've got messes in our churches today, because they don't know the book. They don't go, they don't follow the standards of the Word of God. They don't say, they don't do as it says in the Bible. So all these churches get all messed up. And preachers are afraid to preach it and afraid that their congregation's going to run out on them. I'm just going to say this. So what? No, I don't mean that wrongly. I don't mean that unkindly. But so what? See, that's been going on for centuries. You don't worry about that. You just teach and preach the Word of God. And what we need is some generation of preachers that'll just get up and preach the truth of the Word of God, not worrying about what anybody is going to say. John the Baptist was bold in his preaching. Not only that, I want to tell you, though, in all of this that I've said about John the Baptist, John the Baptist was also just a man. It's interesting because near the end of his life, he was in prison and he sent his disciples to Jesus and said, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? John the Baptist was just a man. And I want to tell you, any preacher you ever hear is just a man. They're not God. They're just a man. They have the frailties of men. And you will always have the frailties of man. But you ought to have boldness about you to stand up and preach the truth of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Not only that, John the Baptist gave his life. Oh, Herod sent for him and beheaded John in prison. He was willing to stand to the point where he gave his life. Now, I say to you, we need a generation of preachers that's just willing to just go to the death if have to. If God asks for it, just go to the death for the truth of the Word of God. And it's just sold out, that you're not going to be sell yourself out for some money or material blessings, and as people call it, or whatever it might be. You're just going to give yourself to the Lord for the rest of your life. Amen. That's what John the Baptist was. He was just a man sent from God. Now I want to talk to you also about his message. He had a message that was given by God. You know, his preaching, we've even talked about it here a little bit, and I'll be over in the book of Matthew somewhat, so if you want to turn over chapter 3 of the book of Matthew, we may go to other places too, but I want you to know that John's message, his message basically always was, and we'll get to the fact that his message was Christ, there's no doubt about that, but his message was the worthiness, the greatness of God, and the unworthiness of man. That was his message. We've got to get that message over. We've got to realize we're just not much. God's everything. Amen. We're not worthy of praise and honor, but God is. And we need to remember that always, you know, and look to him. John the Baptist said this. He said, there cometh one mightier than I, after me, the latches of whose shoe I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. Can you imagine the humility of John the Baptist? We talked about it a little bit while ago. But you hear what his message is. He's not out promoting self. He's out promoting the Lord. The one that was going to come. The one he was sent to proclaim. Not only that, we find also in the book of Matthew, the third chapter, verse number 2, for this is he that has spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. We find here that John the Baptist was a man who was preaching repentance. He was saying, get your life right. Clean your life up. See, repent or perish. Amen. See, that was the kind of preaching that John the Baptist was. He wasn't afraid to tell people they need to repent from sin and get right with God. Amen. So we find over in Matthew, the third chapter, verse number 7 and 8. Let's read those verses. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. You know what he said? Let's see you clean your life up. Let's see you repent. Let's see you start living good. You know, I've said it a lot of times, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I look out here at my congregation. I'm not near interested in what you used to be. I'm interested in what you are now. There's not a person out here that's not an old sinner. Not one standing up or sitting down. There's not just an old sinner saved by grace. It's not what you used to be. What are you now? But if you're God's child, you ought to be living right for God now. You ought to be faithful. You ought to be living for God. Amen. And that's the kind of preaching that John the Baptist did. He said, in other words, repent. Change. Get right with God. Do right. You see, over in Luke, and I'm going to turn there. You might keep your place in Matthew, but over in the book of Luke, chapter 3, verse number 11, we'll start to read. Chapter 3 in the book of Luke, verse number 11. He said in verse number 10, he said, and the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. In other words, here's the way you ought to live. You ought to straighten your life up. You ought to live. If someone has a need, you ought to help them. He says in verse 12, then came also publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? He said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. All right, your tax collectors, don't take any more than what's appointed you. Live right, do right, straighten up your life. See, that's what he was saying. In verse 14, and the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. There's some good instructions. He said, you don't do violence to any man. You don't accuse anybody falsely. And he said, you be content with your wages. Be a good worker. Be an honest worker. See what John the Baptist was doing? He said, cleaning your life up and live right. See, that's repentance. That's doing right. And John the Baptist was that kind of a preacher. Now let's go back over to the book of Matthew, the third chapter of the book of Matthew. He also was he had a message. The message he carried was a message of judgment. Look at verse number 10 of chapter 3. And now of Matthew. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. Forever and ever and ever, we preachers ought to preach that. I know we ought to preach heaven. I believe in preaching heaven, and I believe it's a wonderful thing to be in heaven. But we ought to preach and warn people about hell, that there's a judgment coming. We're going to have to pay some cost. Or even for the Christian folks, the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to have to face. There's certain things going to be burned up one of these days because they won't stand the test of fire in our lives. Shouldn't we know that? Shouldn't we preach that? See, as Christians, shouldn't we get right with God and do better? Well, you're not going to do that without some preaching on judgment. And John the Baptist was a preacher. He brought a message of preaching of judgment. Not only that, in Matthew, the third chapter, the third verse, he said, "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." He also had a message of preparation to receive Christ. What I'm saying to you, you ought to receive Christ. If you're not saved, you ought to receive Christ. You ought to prepare to meet your God. You're going to meet him one of these days. I don't know when. I hope you live to be 100. That's okay with me. But you may not. Somewhere along the line, some of these young people standing here may not be with us next week or next year. We don't know. We want them to be. But we don't know. But prepare to meet Christ. See, you need to prepare to meet him. And that was the kind of message that he preached. And always, let me say to you, his message was from God's word and according to God's word. The Bible says in Luke 3:2, said the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. You see, it came from God. The message came from God. Let me say to you, you don't need messages. You don't need messages that somebody that sounds good and that sounds so wonderful that you'll be looked at and said, oh, what a wonderful preacher you are and all that. We need messages that come down from heaven into the heart of the preacher, and he brings them forth to the people, and they hear the word of God. That's the kind of messages we need. From God Almighty, you see. And I told you earlier, you know, to Herod, he said, it is not lawful. He said, it's not lawful for you to have her. He was not afraid. You know why he said that? Because it was scriptural. Because it was the word of God. It was not lawful for him to have his brother's wife. Amen? True? So we just preach the word of God. Amen? See, we need a generation of preachers that will preach the word of God. If you're not going to preach the word of God, stay out of it. Don't bother us. We don't need you. We need young men that will stand up and preach God's word the way it's supposed to be, without fear or favor. Amen. And his message, as always, was Christ. Over in Luke 3:6, he said, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Oh, he preached Jesus as the way of salvation. Amen. We always ought to preach Christ. Preach Jesus Christ as the way of salvation. I'm going to turn over kind of over in John, the first chapter. Not going to read all of it. We could just read practically that whole thing. But I'm not going to read it all. But I'm going to start at verse 7 and kind of skip over here and read just a little bit more. But in John, the first chapter, 7th verse, he said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. But he said he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. You hear what he's saying there? You see, his message was about Jesus. He was preaching about Jesus. Look over in verse number 26 of that same chapter. John answered then, saying, I baptize thee with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye shall that ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latches I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethsaida beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He saw Jesus coming, and he said, There's the Lamb of God. Well, you want to behold him. No, just don't take a glance at him. Behold him. Get your eyes on him and look at him. Say, this is the Son of God. This is the Lamb of God. You see, his message was about Jesus Christ. We need a generation of preachers that will just point people to Jesus. Not to themselves, but to Jesus always. He's the Son of God. He's God the Son, too. Amen. And he's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of all the world. He died there on that cross for your sin and my sin so that we could have eternal life. You didn't die for anybody. I didn't die for anybody. It was Jesus who done that. Amen. Amen. And so John the Baptist was a man who brought forth a message about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I might share also, not only was he a man and not only did he have a great message given by God, but he also had a method. And the method was preaching. That's the way God uses it. See, people don't like preaching. You don't like God. Well, that's God's plan. Preaching's God's plan. You see in Mark, the first chapter, 7th verse, it says, John came preaching. Over in Luke, the 3rd chapter, 3rd verse, he says, And he came into all the country about Jordan. What? Preaching. Preaching. Over in Matthew, the 3rd chapter, 1st verse, In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Preaching. That's the method that God gave. That's ordained of God, the preaching of the word of God. You see, that's the way God has planned it. It's his plan for us to get the word of God out. It's through preaching. He says in Matthew, the 14th chapter, 4th verse, he says he preached unto Herod that it was unlawful. What did he do? How did he tell Herod that it was unlawful? He preached. He preached to him the word of God. And then in Isaiah, the 58th chapter, the 1st verse, he said, Cry aloud and spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. What do? We lift up our voice and we preach and we tell people about their transgressions and their sin. We preach it. We lift up our voices and we do that. Why? It's God's way. Amen. See, it's such a shame. I'm serious. It's just such a shame. There's not a whole lot of preaching going on anymore. We want to just kind of pat everybody on the back and make them feel good when they walk out the door. You know, that's fine if you feel good. You feel good if you get some good preaching in you. You get repented and you'll feel better. You get right with God, you'll feel a lot better. You walk out those doors unhappy. Amen. That's what we need. What's the preacher's job to do that? Now you say, Brother Ross, how about the preacher? Let me tell you where I've been. I've been in my study this week. I've been studying. I've been talking to God about the messages I'm going to preach today. All three messages that I preached today, I talked to God about them. And I want to tell you, he got all over me. He gets all over me all the time. I get it before you ever get it. I'm very serious about that. I get it way before you ever get it. And it's just as much for me as it is for you. But when this preacher stands to preach, he wants me to give you the message. And if it hits you, it ought to hit you. But you ought not just walk around and say, Boy, that hit me. No, you ought to do something about it. You ought to run to an altar of prayer and do something about it. Don't look like the man who walked out one day out of this church right back here years and years ago and said to me, Boy, you stepped all over my toes today. You stepped all over my toes. I said, I'm sorry. I missed. I was aiming at your heart. That's where I'm aiming. I'm not aiming for your toes. I'm aiming for your heart. That's what God needs is preachers that will preach the word of God. You understand me? Bible says in 1 Corinthians, 1st chapter, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Through preaching. That's the way you get saved. Through preaching. Whether it's on one-on-one, whether it's witnessing one-on-one, whether it's through a tract preaching, whether it's through pulpit preaching, that's the way people get saved. It's the way people believe. So they hear the word of God. They believe the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they believe upon it. Amen. What I'm saying to you, do we have a generation of preachers like that? Do we have a generation of preachers like that who'll just preach the truth of the word of God? Won't coddle their people, but love them And the way you show you love them is preaching the word of God to them.
Amen.
The greatest love that I can show Blessed Hope Baptist Church and its people is because if I'll preach the word of God to you and warn you and preach to you and tell you the truth of God's word, that proves love. Amen. So I'm saying to you today, is there a generation? Is there young men out here tonight that says, you know, God has touched my heart and I believe with all of my heart that I'm willing to preach the word of God. I believe he wants me to preach. I believe I'm supposed to give myself to the preaching of the word of God, to full-time service for God. Amen. Now, I'm not, like I told you, now I'm not talking about fooling around. This is not fooling around stuff. If you don't feel that in your heart, you don't know that in your heart, you're not willing to live a clean life and a good clean life, folks, God's not interested in you. He's interested in you, but not preaching. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's a cost that's paid. It's a lifetime of cost to preach the word of God. Understand me? So I'm saying to you, are you here? Are you listening? Has God spoke to your heart? Amen. Maybe there's young ladies here that says, you know what? God just wants to use me. Not in preaching. There's a lot of women that preach, but you're not supposed to preach.
Amen.
You're not supposed to preach behind a pulpit.
Amen.
No, you're not supposed to. That's against the word of God, so we don't do that.
Amen.
But you might be a young lady that says, you know what, I think God wants to use me. He may want me to, maybe he wants me to marry a preacher. I don't know. Maybe he just wants to just use me in full-time service. He may want me to be a school teacher. He may want me to be a secretary somewhere in some church. Just multitudes of things that God can use a young lady for. But you say, I'm willing to be used of God. I'm just willing. I give myself unto the Lord. Now remember, this is not fun time. And a lot of people think it's a big deal to stand up here and say, well, I surrendered my life. Well, buddy, that means something. So don't just come up and surrender your life to something that you don't mean. But if you mean it, God's dealt with your heart, then you mind him. You do exactly what God said to do. Amen. And God will use you. Amen. So as I say, I look at these young people, but it isn't always just young people. It could be anybody. I started preaching when I was 30. God called me to preach when I was 30 years old. I've known a lot of people got called to preach later than that. You see, that's not the issue. It's whether you're willing to give your life to the Lord and be used of God. That's the issue. So I just ask you today, has God spoke to your heart tonight? Are you willing to say yes to Jesus? I'm just willing to do whatever you want me to do. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Maybe such a thing, there's someone here tonight that's never been saved. You don't know right here tonight if you should die. You don't know whether you'd go to heaven or not. But I want you to know God loves you. I want you to know that you can know. I want you to know Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for you, that you might have eternal life. If you have a doubt about your salvation, you need to come. You need to give yourself to the Lord and accept him tonight. It'd be a great, wonderful thing for you to do. May also, as we present to you tonight, the opportunity, God has dealt with you, and you say, I know for sure that God has called me. God wants to use me. And in the service of the Lord, you would come tonight and give yourself here in an altar prayer and just give yourself to God and tell God you're willing to be used of him. Amen. All right, as we pray, Father, I sure thank you again today for your grace and your goodness. Lord, we don't want this invitation. We want you to have it. And Father, we would ask that you do accordingly. Lord, whatever needs to be done, and we'll be satisfied, Father, if you get accomplished tonight what you want to get accomplished. And so we just pray that you work on hearts, deal in people's lives, Lord, to do that which you have ordained for them to do. If there's those here that need to come and make a decision, get to an old altar prayer, and just have something settled between you and the Lord. Between you and them, Father, that would be wonderful. That'd be good. We just pray the will of God be done tonight, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.